If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome to yet another sparkling edition of the Thought Police, the podcast everybody wants to listen to, and most people can actually get. It's available twice a week, it's free. You get it from Audio Boom, from iTunes, you get it from Acast. Tell all your friends about it. We did a great video last week as well. It was a sort of bonus on Talk Radio, which is on YouTube. I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah. We'll do more of those, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try and do different people every week.
People can see my hairy arms.
Well, some woman said that she was transfixed by them.
Yeah.
I don't know what that meant. I assume she liked them.
I took it as positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I must be honest, it's the first time I've been made conscious of my
hairy arms.
Because they're not like gorilla-esque, are they?
They're not particularly hairy.
No,
they're more hairy than mine. But I mean, they're kind of. You know what I always found?
I've now become a bit sort of paranoid about that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, don't wax them, whatever you do.
Really?
Don't. No, don't do that.
I've just bought all the gear off Amazon.
Well, Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. One of the things I noticed most about America when I first went to America is a lot of Americans have really hairy arms.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that. Yeah. And hairy chests as well.
Well, I don't know if I haven't seen that many of their chests, but I've seen their arms. That didn't sound good. Anyway, here we are, right? This is the big week for lots of reasons. It's going to be the last week before next week when the election takes place. We're literally, you know, less than 10 days away.
Yeah.
Right? Thursday is going to be a week away. I'm not sure how we're going to keep ourselves focused on all of that. But we've also got Donald Trump visiting. And we've also, of course, got the aftermath of that terrible terrorist attack on Friday.
Yeah.
Which, although it was a terrorist attack and it's been called a terrorist attack and is a terrorist attack, in a way, is not quite, for me, the random terrorist attack that happened 2 years ago in Borough Market in London Bridge.
Because it was a lone guy.
Well, not because it was a lone guy, but more because it was a guy who was involved with this organisation, which was trying to, you know, help offenders and rehabilitate people.
Yeah.
And he seems to have decided, for whatever reason, to attack them.
But don't you think the sort of fake suicide vest and all of that business sort of puts it into the...
It does. No, listen, I'm not saying it's not a terrorist attack.
I know you're trying to diminish it.
No, I'm not. I'm really not.
You're trying to categorise it.
What I'm saying is, my kind of sense of a terrorist attack is that it's very random. It's like they don't care who they kill.
Right.
This guy appears to have wanted to kill the bloke who was running, you know, the learning organisation who was hosting the event. The young guy from Cambridge, you know? Because why? I mean, why would you kill that guy? I mean, he's the most kind of kind and sort of least offensive character that you can think of.
Totally.
So where I think of a terrorist attack, I think of somebody sitting on a train and some guy blowing himself up and you just happen to be sitting there.
So
he's kind of targeted it, in my way.
Because he's got the motive of going after this person.
Yeah.
There is a difference.
I know that it makes no difference to the family, but it's been fascinating to watch. I have to say, there are lots of ways that people react to things and, you know, his family are probably in terrible pain and grief and all that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's right for his father to be out there sort of having a go at the Daily Mail and Boris Johnson and all these people.
I stood up and cheered for him.
Well, you would maybe do that, but that's maybe the difference between us. I just think it's kind of, it's also politicising his own son. Do you know what I mean? He's complaining that people are politicising his son.
Yeah.
He's doing the same thing by saying, this is exactly what my son does not want you to do.
Yeah, but as the father of a guy who's just been killed, I think he's got the right, you know.
I suppose so.
More right than the editors of Fleet Street newspapers.
Maybe so. But all they're doing is covering the story, don't you think?
Well, yes, I do. It is complicated. But I do think that I honestly thought it was really good for me that somebody, a member of the public, who, you know, we're both seasoned journalists. And I think sometimes, I'm not saying you do, but I think sometimes it's possible to forget that the commodity we deal in is people's lives.
Oh, yeah. And, there's no doubt about that.
And the, you know, for a guy to say, well, I'm not just going to be a passenger in this news agenda.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my foot down and mm-hmm. say this is totally counter to what... And it's only one lad's opinion, you know,
yeah.
his dead son's opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all the weight it carries, but it, equally it should carry some weight.
Oh, I think it should, but I just think you can't argue about politicising the death of your son while politicising.
But how do you stop that then? Without sticking your head above the parapet?
I think he's doing it out of grief. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I think he's probably going to look back on it and say, maybe I shouldn't have said all those things, because he's actually already said, my son would not want any of this to have stopped the process of rehabilitating prisoners.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure that's true, because if his son was alive and you said to him, would you rather die than have this system change? I don't think he'd say that.
No. Well, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean. And
we're talking about Jack Merritt, obviously, and Saskia Jones. I mean, it's just awful. The whole thing is awful. I just wish, and I said this on the radio the other day, I just wish that, you know, we didn't have to have a conversation about the Labour Party changing the law and the Tories then not changing it back.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not interested in any of that. I know for sure that nobody in this country has taken this seriously.
I think you're absolutely right.
A lot of people, mostly on the right side of politics, have been complaining about Islamification of the country. They've been complaining about the sort of, you know, nutters that are free to walk around and the kinds of hate preaching that's been going on in certain mosques.
Mm.
And we've all just turned a blind eye to it.
To what? The complaints or the reality of...
To the reality of what's happening and trying to pretend that it's not happening.
But it's very hard to know what is happening when you hear extreme voices like Tommy Robinson and Katie.
But you hear fear and fear of those because they're not allowed to speak in many situations.
Yeah.
And I'm no backer of Tommy Robinson or Katie Hopkins.
Yeah.
I detest both of them, right, for what they say, because I detest the way that they twist the truth.
Yeah.
And I hate the way that they, you know, sort of ratchet people up into a state of complete frenzy and racism.
Yeah.
But it's not only them, it's lots of people who are kind of clamped down upon and just branded racist.
But it's really difficult,
because you say, look, there's something wrong with Islamic fundamentalism, because
I think you'd find very little disagreement about that, you know, and especially from right-thinking Muslims would be the first to say.
But
you know,
what we do know, though, is that there is an overcompensation going on from the establishment,
what,
I think, in this country.
Correctness?
I think so.
But how do you explain then the necessity for this guy's dad to come out and say, stop, you know...
Well, there is no necessity for it. There isn't. I mean, he's got that point of view.
Mm.
His family are very left-wing. We know that. Mm. He was very left-wing. He was all about rehabilitation. You know, they were so taken in by this guy. And of course, I'm not going to have a go at somebody who's been killed. But he was so taken in that they thought, not only should they let him come to London unaccompanied, where he was on a train.
Imagine. That wasn't his choice, though, was it?
Yeah, well, they recommended that he was fine, basically. So
he
was allowed to come on a second visit to London. First one accompanied, second one unaccompanied. Imagine if he'd had the knives on a train where nobody could escape. And there were no people...
Well, and he's attacked innocent people, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
but the point is that, you know, lots of things were made assumptions on the day.
Yeah.
I was actually, fortunately, because it happened literally 100 yards from where I work, you know, but I'd left the building about 45 minutes earlier, and I wasn't there. But the amount of disinformation that came out staggered me.
Mm.
You know, people were reporting stuff on Twitter. Some people were saying things on the radio which weren't blatantly untrue, that there was more than one person, that there was an explosion in Borough Market, that there was an incident on a bus, that somebody was tasered, some other guy was shot, there was a fight. I mean, the amount of disinformation in this so-called age of the citizen journalist was quite horrendous.
But that's that is just a natural consequence of letting everybody have a bloody voice.
Yeah, but the people who are supposed to be responsible, i.e. those people who are broadcasters, were running with some of this stuff, you know?
The 24-hour news cycle, and, you know, as much as Sky News is brilliant, and I genuinely mean it's brilliant, and the BBC 24 and Talk Radio, all of these things... They're all brilliant 99% of the time, but when something happens, the competitive streak to get the scoop often, I think, pulls people in a very dangerous direction, which they come to regret later. You know?
And I think the police did magnificently well. We know that you know, they got there really, really quickly. I mean, when I was driving down to Sussex, right, by the time it was probably about 3 o'clock. So we're now talking a good couple of hours, I think. Well, 1 hour after it had happened.
Yeah.
And there was police cars racing up the A2 from places from like Bexley Heath into town.
Yeah.
Because they obviously thought it was a lot worse.
Well, they must have a... There must be a procedure where they suddenly say, right, hit the red button.
Hit everything.
And then everybody piles in.
Because I think what happened was that they got the armed response people there pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They had the motor...
They were brilliant.
The special boat service people were there.
Yeah.
You know, the guys in the black boats on the river. Yeah. They shut all that off. But what I then saw was these three black Range Rovers that looked very menacing, with blue lights on the front only, in the, you know, the radiator grill, blacked out window. Yeah. And I'm thinking... Jesus Christ, I wonder what they think is going on.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking this must be a concerted and sort of Bataclan-style attack.
Yeah.
Thank God it wasn't,
yeah.
You know. But I just, I think that there's... It shows you how fucked up we are, if you'll pardon the expression, that even this becomes a political football.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, because this is what they want, though, isn't it, to a degree? They want us all to be talking about it and to be scared of it. And at the end of the day, there's been more... people stabbed to death 500 yards from where I'm sitting on Holloway Road this year than in any terror attack stuck it together. So, what's the takeaway from this? Bad shit happens. Mm. I think, generally speaking, somebody somewhere is clearly doing a really good job, generally speaking, and making sure that bad shit doesn't
happen. Well, except that we've now discovered there are 74 or possibly 72, because there's been two arrests now, 72 of these characters... who are out there wandering about and who are convincing the people who are supposed to protect us that they're not going to kill us.
But all right, I'm going to sound like a real bleeding heart lefty tosser now.
Well, of course you are.
How do you, at what point, do you lock them up and throw away the key?
I think you do.
Really?
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you? What is the point of not doing that?
But they're British, by the way. Right, they're British citizens.
So?
They have, this guy... sounds like he's a bit of an idiot. I mean, low IQ, and
he's clearly of low. Lots
because
of them
that
are
was the
low
reason
IQ.
he was let out was that it was deemed that his plan was much less sophisticated, i.e., was a load of bollocks.
Well,
that was never
the decision was taken by my learned friend Lord Justice Leveson. Funnily enough,
was he?
Yes, in the Court of Appeal. I would not wish to cast any aspersions on Leveson, but he was the guy who decided unilaterally that this guy was not as dangerous as the other guys and therefore should not have had an indeterminate sentence.
That's right.
And he changed it.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't matter to me that it's the Labour Party that made that law possible or the Tories. It makes no odds to me.
Yeah.
But it was a bad idea.
But what about every rapist that is freed after serving 10 years and then goes on to rape again?
Yeah, well, they shouldn't
murder.
Be freed either.
Yeah, but how do you pick them out?
Well, because you're supposed to have some kind of professional purpose in life if you are somebody who is a psychiatrist who is giving... an indication that this person is still a danger to society.
This guy had all of that kind of evaluation.
No, he didn't.
Really?
No. This was a judgment made by Lord Leveson, who decided that he wasn't as dangerous as they said
as
he
the
was.
Other ones, yeah.
So they changed the way that he was held.
Yeah.
Now, again, you can argue that that's not his fault, that he was simply following the directions of the legal justice system and all of that. My point is that, we have an ideology. And funnily enough, Dominic Lawson wrote an interesting piece today about how one of his cousin's husband was murdered by a guy who was released early.
Right.
Not a terrorist, but, something had happened in their past family history.
Yeah.
And he said the problem here, and I think he's right, is that there's ideologically opposition in this country to hard justice.
Yes.
Nobody who's in the justice system wants it. If you talk to the Howard League for Penal Reform, if you talk to, the Prison Reform Society... they're all like you. They're all liberal lefties, right? And they all believe in rehabilitation. And they all think, we've got to give them a second chance.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's time to fucking draw a line over that maybe it isn't time to give them another chance.
What about the guy who was the ex-murderer, or the murderer, who was out on release and pinned this guy down?
Yeah, he's being made out to be some kind of hero, right?
Well, I mean, that was heroic.
It was, but you ask the family of the people he killed.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And they're not very happy about the fact that he's walking around.
100%.
And he happened to be there. The idea that at one point this was all painted as, this is a very bizarre and interesting
portrait.
Yeah, he was inside the building where the event was going on.
Yeah.
Right?
As was the guy with the narwhal tusk.
Yeah, the Polish dishwasher.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Fantastic. And I've seen the videos, as many people have.
Yeah.
And, thank God they did stop the guy before he killed more people. But the bottom line is that the reason this guy was there is because of the liberal and what can only be described as very wet
yeah.
process of justice in this country. What about,
so it's easy to argue that when you've got a guy, a terrorist, who's just killed people on the bridge.
A terrorist who was let out of prison because the people are supposed to tell you whether he's dangerous or not, said he wasn't.
Got it wrong. But that, you'll accept that, that on the spectrum of this argument, that is right at the far end. That's an easy case to say. But what about the people who have gone into prison for a long time, are reformed, could make a contribution to society?
I don't know any.
Shouldn't
Do you?
I
don't know any.
But the prison system is geared up to rehabilitation, isn't it? It's not meant to be a punishment, right? Of course it is. But the primary role of it is, can you rehabilitate these people?
Well, I don't think
because
it is.
Because that's the measure of a society. Otherwise you'd lock everyone up.
We talk about the measure of society. That's why we're civilised, you know. Yeah. Are we? Really? I don't think we are civilised, you know. Because we have people in the society now who have outgrown. It's a bit like, you know, an analogue and a digital argument, right? Terrorism now exists on the streets of this country for many reasons. Lots of the people who want to kill us were born here. Yeah. They are British citizens. They cannot be deported, no matter how many right-wingers...
So what do you do with them?
Well, if they are terrorists, you lock them up.
But how do you know?
Get found guilty for a start.
Yeah, but isn't this the problem? This is just an extension of the argument around stop and search with young black men, right? Is if you take the argument that there is a factual disproportion of knife crime amongst young black men.
Yes.
Therefore,
which there is.
Therefore, you should just freely search every black man you come across for a knife. Which is what's behind the stop and search argument. Then, of course, Then the vast majority of people in those communities very quickly start to feel really disaffected and pissed off and alienated.
They already feel like that.
No, but we. Well, I don't know if that's true anymore. But if our job is not to have ghettos of people who feel like the rest of the nation doesn't want them there, we've got to try and work out how do we treat people fairly so that innocent people, of which the vast majority of them are totally innocent and good people, don't feel like our society is set against them.
Well, Benjamin Butterworth is a great guy. He writes for the I newspaper. He's a guest on Talk Radio quite a bit. He's a big promoter of the LGBT community, big promoter of the trans community. He's very far from a right winger. Yeah. He put out a tweet yesterday in which he said, because talking about how this guy from Stoke had been bullied and that's what sort of sent him a bit mad and sent him off into terrorism and all that. Yeah. He said, I was bullied when I was at school.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody threw a brick at me once. Yeah. I didn't fucking go and join ISIS.
No.
You know, there's something a lot more wrong. It's not, you know, you can't use the I'm disaffected argument. No. That's why I've been knifing people to death. And that's why I mug people. And that's why I knock old women over the head and stab them.
This is why you are paid a fortune to do radio. You can take a perfectly reasonable sentence that I've just said and within two breaths turn me into a lunatic.
No, I haven't.
That's not what I was saying. What I was saying was, we have your absolutism in saying, right, throw away the key, the terrorist, where does it stop? You know, where's the evidence that someone's a terrorist? You hang around with somebody who's found out to be a terrorist?
I think if you are convicted of a terrorist offence this country, I think we can have enough faith in the justice system that makes you a terrorist, right? Now, what my argument is that you take them out of the criminal justice system and you put them in their own system, almost like a Guantanamo Bay type
You
scenario.
Now want a Guantanamo
yes,
Bay. Where?
I think,
in the Isle of Wight?
Well, you could put it anywhere you like. There's a couple of islands in the Firth of Forth you could use, which have got military prisons in them from the Second World War. Why not?
Guantanamo
Bay. Why not? Because what you cannot make an argument that tells me that these people should be re-released back into the community, because it's a community that they wish to do harm to. If you had some next door neighbour, who came round to your house and put petrol under your door, and he was locked up, but he was then decided it was that he was all right again, and he comes back out to live next door to you, what are you going to do?
Well, I would make sure that he didn't have any petrol canisters.
How are you going to do that, though?
Yeah.
The point is that you don't want to live next door to a guy who's already set fire to your house.
Of course, but you can't. I mean, that's an absurd scenario. Two.
Is it?
Yes, of course it is. As if he'd been moving back into the house, he couldn't afford to live in this street.
Well, anyway, that may well be.
But
the council would give him a house.
But the serious point is that if the guy is rehabilitated, I mean, okay, I'll tell you what, let's talk about, not that it's nice, but let's talk about paedophiles, right?
Yeah.
do we throw them away and lock away the key completely? Because I can see the argument for that being, because it is a mental condition.
There are lots of people who think that that's what should happen, because lots of people, and I think I've told this story before. I interviewed a paedophile on the radio in Edinburgh, right? Because we'd somehow fallen upon this guy who was one of these vigilantes who we got into the papers, actually, because he approached us, and he used to go around with night vision goggles following paedophiles around. I mean, it was a very weird story.
Yeah.
But as a result of that, we got this guy ringing up who claimed to be a paedophile. He said, I want to come in and tell my story because he said, I need help. He said, I don't know what to do. Christ. And he said, every time they release me back into the community, all I want to do is harm children.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he said,
well,
I keep
This is where I agree with you.
But he says, I keep telling people that.
Well, this is nuts.
And, you know, they keep telling me to turn up to these classes. It doesn't make any difference. He said, when I leave, we had a studio in a place called South Gyle, which was on the outskirts of Edinburgh near the airport. South Gyle Shopping Centre. He said, when I leave this studio, I'm going to go to the shopping centre and I'm going to look at children.
Fuck's sake.
Right?
This is incredible.
And he said, nobody's...
What happened to him?
Well, he wasn't arrested because the police view was, well, he can't, until he commits a crime, he's perfectly free to sit in a shopping centre and watch parents with their kids.
Right, so, okay, so there's something you and I are completely as one at.
Yeah.
That guy, until he's cured and demonstrably cured...
I don't think
cured,
they can be cured.
Right, well, then that guy should never come into contact with kids again. And if the only
and
way...
he should never be let out.
If the only way of making that shorter happen is to keep him in prison, keep him in prison. But then there are...
So do we not have to take the terrorism thing the same way? Well, I wouldn't object, right? And you might think that this is a crazy idea. Mm. But I would not object to having communities, albeit behind fences and like an army sort of style barracks, where these people live. I'm not joking. why are you laughing?
Well, when you say communities, who are you including?
Well, I'm talking about places where terrorists go. Because you can't, if you say, I don't want them in the general prison population, because I don't want them fucking radicalising other people, right?
Right.
So I want them on their own, isolated, in a very distant part of Britain.
Like Devil's Island.
Something like that, Why not? Yeah. Counting every seventh wave to see whether they can jump over with Dustin Hoffman and Steve McQueen.
Bags of coconuts.
Papillon, what a great
Papillon,
film.
Amazing. Henri Charrière.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Bullshit, by the way. 90% of that book is absolute bullshit.
I read the book before I saw the film,
book's
actually.
Amazing.
I read the book when I was about 14
it's
years
old.
It's
a great book. But
I loved it.
I hate to tell you, 90%
of it. I never got over the things that they shoved up their arse. Yeah, I never got over that.
And
I was quite young when
well,
I
Well, the
that.
Fact that I never got over was that when they stuck two of them, they called them charges, didn't they?
That's it,
They stuck two of them up their arses.
Yeah.
Then the one that they stuck up first would always come out second. When they took it out. So it's sort of like, slipped past each other.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
The one that they stuck up first.
Yes. Came out.
Well, it would come out second. You mean?
No, I mean it came out first.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
See, we've already strayed into an area we shouldn't have done.
Nah.
Because now you've brought it all back to me. But no, I just think that there is no cogent argument, right, for crossing your fingers, crossing all your legs and saying, oh, don't worry. It's a very, very small chance that this is going to happen. There's more people stabbed on a Saturday night in Pimlico or whatever, right? That's not the point. You know, we are knowingly, and with this guy in particular from Friday, we are knowingly letting dangerous people back onto the street and encouraging them to get into normal parts of society, thinking they're fine when they're actually not.
Yeah.
And that's... I'm sorry, there's no excuse.
Well, look,
if one of my children had been stabbed to death,
of course, mate.
You know, I would not be sitting here going... Oh, well, you know, they would have wanted it that way.
Well,
they fucking wouldn't have wanted it that way. Neither would I.
Well, the only evidence we've got of the guy whose child was stabbed to death is saying exactly that.
No, I know
so,
that.
So,
but I think that that's part of the problem. And without wishing to upset him or to
diss
him...
People who don't think your way are part of the problem, aren't they?
Well, they're part of this particular problem because his son would be alive if he thought a different way.
But
if his son thought a different way,
we already lock up more people than anybody else in Europe, right? Where does it end? Because you can't afford to lock up huge swathes of society.
Unless you take a different tack, right?
Yeah.
Unless you take it, you know, like I said,
bring back hanging.
I would not be in favour of the death penalty. I don't think it works. Right. Because I think it's ridiculous. I think it's barbaric.
But what if a guy said, "I'd rather be, frankly, if I'm going to be in this prison for the rest of my life, having plotted to bomb a shopping mall in Stoke, right? Frankly, I'd rather die."
Right? If he if he wants to commit suicide, then by all means, you can maybe give him something that he can take. I don't think the state should be actively executing people.
Right.
I don't think that's in any way civilised.
I don't understand why. I mean, if I was arguing from your position, I'd be all in favour of the death penalty.
Well, that's why you're not as nuanced as I am, you see, because I can always confuse the hell out of people.
I'm not entirely sure about
that. But, well, you can say whatever you want. The bottom line for me is that, you know, it's very obvious that in America, the death penalty doesn't really work.
No.
Because they spend a lot more time on death row, in many cases.
What about the three strikes and you're out thing?
I quite like the three strikes and you're out. I don't mind that.
But what about, so you're getting kids getting locked up for life for stealing a pizza?
Well, don't steal it. You know, simple.
Yeah, yeah. But don't you think it sounds like a bit of a overreaction?
No, because if you're so stupid that you don't understand the situation, i.e. if you get found guilty of something and convicted of a criminal offence three times, that you will go to prison for life,
I think you're
probably not worth being left the opportunity to wander around.
I think you have inadvertently stumbled on the absolute point of our disagreement, of our philosophical disagreement, when you said, if you're so stupid, ..
Right.
And so I think that if you are stupid and there are other social reasons around why, you know, nobody goes out and steals a pizza just for the hell of it. Or if you do, you deserve what's coming
to you. Well, some people do.
Yeah, so if you do, you deserve what's coming to you. But there are people who do fall into the wrong gangs. They are influenced at school. Mm-hmm. They come from deep poverty. They haven't got enough money to buy their own lunch. They are driven by the fact that all of their mates are wearing Supreme gear and they haven't got it. And there are things that would have tempted you as a kid would tempt anybody. Now, do you start? Where do you draw the bloody line? Is what I'm saying.
Well, you draw the line at the law. Surely the point is that nobody should get special treatment. You shouldn't get special treatment if you're rich, and you shouldn't get special treatment if you're poor. You know, you can have mitigating circumstances.
Have you ever nicked anything in your life?
Of course.
Right,
how loads many of times? Loads I used to steal loads of stuff when I was a kid.
So you should be in jail. If you were in California, you'd be in cycle.
No, I wouldn't be, because I've never been convicted of anything. No,
the only difference between you and them is that you didn't get caught.
Yeah.
So there's no moral difference at all. You're as bad.
Well, sorry, you know, lock people up because they've got bad morals now.
So you're not.
Or you're
just
lock me up because I had an affair with somebody.
You're locking people up just because they were unlucky.
No, they were stupid and they were convicted. I don't care why they're
so stupid.
Why they're
intelligent criminality where people get away from it is passive.
Look, the law is the law. You have to make a law. And you have to make a law that works.
Yeah, but you're saying,
and you have to remember,
you've broken the law multiple times.
I'm not exactly Jack the fucking Ripper. I'm talking about stealing. I'm talking about stealing Mars bars.
I'm glad they've got that established.
You know, I haven't murdered anyone.
That would have been a great moment of history. Look, when I killed those four people, right?
Yeah, I covered my tracks. No, look. Here's the thing. If you know that you have to create a law, a framework of the law, which is workable and which is judicious and which provides justice for people, you know, of course there are going to be times when you sometimes get it wrong, which is one of the reasons why I don't want the death penalty, because you can execute people sometimes who are innocent, right? But equally, you also have to remember, it's not just about the justice for the people who have committed the crimes, it's for the victims.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to protect society from a bunch of terrorists, right now there are 74 of them wandering around, you know, surely the first duty, call of duty for anyone is to make sure that the people are safe.
Yeah.
That means you have to take these people out of play.
Yeah.
You can't just hope for the best that nobody's going to get on the Piccadilly line when I'm on my way home blow the hell out of
it. I do not disagree with any of that on the 74, and I think there should clearly be a review of every single one of them. And better safe than sorry, you know, if these people feel that the net is closing and some decide, right, here's my moment, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be shocked, would you, if that happened?
No, I mean, not at all.
So you've got to kind of clamp down.
And like I say, they've already arrested two other people since the weekend, right?
Yeah.
One of whom was part of this guy in Stoke's original posse.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who the second guy is. But, you know, there's clearly mistakes being made.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to get into whose fault it is and whether funds have been withdrawn. I think it's down to a fundamental misunderstanding of the criminal mind. You know, as Dominic Lawson said, in the case of the guy that killed his cousin's husband, this is a bloke who had been convinced that he was no longer a criminal by taking an anger management course.
Yeah.
And the parole board said, oh, he's fine now.
Yeah.
And he'd been done for attempted murder the first time. This time he was done for murder.
Yeah.
And I think you have to take a view that many people, and it's not because they're stupid, but it's because there's something wrong with them, for various reasons, that they have to be locked up and they have to not be let out.
Yeah.
Well, and I think you can draw the line if you really want to do it, and you really want to make it a priority for the community, not for the perps, but for the people who suffer, then you can do it.
But I just really worry about how a lot of people who are on the margins of what you're talking about, who may display some criminality on a smaller scale, who may make a bigger mistake even, but essentially are people who could come in and make a contribution, why you would take a draconian approach to them when for most people...
Well, surely it depends what they've done, doesn't it?
But doesn't, for most people, right, for the vast majority, the system does work, doesn't it? It's not like this happens all the time.
Oh, for sure. It's a bit like the argument I used to make about social media and about football hooliganism and all of that. You know, if everyone behaves reasonably, then you haven't got a problem.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, everybody doesn't behave reasonably. And you end up with very violent people who will do horrible things to you and your loved ones. And you have to try and protect people from them.
Yeah.
And if that means locking them up and not giving them a second chance because they've already done something horrible, then that's their lookout.
Okay.
You know, I've never in my life felt like hitting anybody over the head with a hammer and stealing their bag, right?
Yeah.
Now, in my view, anyone that does that has got something wrong with them.
Yeah,
now,
I agree.
Many people would argue, well, they've just had a bad life and, you know.
Yeah.
But you're hitting a granny over the head or you're raping somebody.
I'll tell you what I've got a problem with is when the fella hits somebody over the head with a hammer and he gets sentenced to, you know, she doesn't die, his good luck.
Right.
And they get sentenced to 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, of that, which is time served. They go in for a year, they're out again.
You know, I think that with intent to kill like that or the possibility to kill, you get some smart-ass lawyer who... Yeah. Does a deal with the CPS and suddenly you're getting done for aggravated harm.
Well, you look at those moped gangs, which were prevalent for a long time, early part of this year, last year maybe. You know, they clearly didn't give a shit about being caught because they knew that nothing was going to happen.
Well, that's right. So I think somewhere we've lost a sense of prison being a meaningful deterrent.
Yeah.
But the terrorists are a case apart, aren't they? Because they don't give a shit about
And they're that's why I think you have to remove them from the general criminal justice system and put them somewhere else and say, okay, you're
winning me round.
You're not. See, this is what I'm good at. Because in the end, you have to take
because this is episode 43 and it's the first time I can remember it happening before.
Really? It's happened before. You've just forgotten because you don't want to remember. You want to go, don't want to go down that road. But no, I just think that, you know, we are facing something which we've never faced really in this way before.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've always been living in, not in fear, because you don't live in fear, but, you know, when Bataclan happened, for example, I remember thinking to myself as I was going on the tube the next day, what if I walk around this corner and there's a guy with a machine gun?
Yeah.
You know, shooting people.
Yeah.
What would I do? You know, would I sort of throw myself at him? Would I try and run away? What would I do?
Have you seen The Irishman on Netflix yet?
I haven't yet, no.
Oh, it's brilliant.
But I should tell you that on Friday,
I
had one of those moments. You know, we've talked about meeting people.
Yeah.
Miami Steve Van Zandt was in the studio.
Really?
And fantastic. I had my picture taken.
Amazing. I would have done the same.
And he's in it.
Yeah.
He's in The Irishman, Forget about his role in The Sopranos.
Forget the
fact that he's in the E Street Band. Yeah. I mean, what an amazing character.
He's fantastic.
And guess what?
Go on.
He's a Remainer.
Of course he is. He's a smart man.
He was being interviewed by Julie Hartley Brewer. I'm like, I'm surprised you haven't thrown this man out of your studio.
Yeah, yeah. There's a great line in The Irishman where they're discussing what you should do, and they say, and I think it's Joe Pesci says, you know, if it's...
He looks really old in it, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I think he's been made to look even older than he does. He, by the way, is absolutely brilliant in the film. De Niro's fantastic, Pacino's great, but Pesci is amazing. I think it's the best work he's ever done. Anyway, the film
is it not really long as well?
Yeah, it's 3 hours, but it never drags.
Right.
Have you seen Casino? Do you remember Casino?
Yes,
which
goes
Casino. on and on.
Oh, I love Casino.
But
yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't cut a minute from it.
No.
And you wouldn't cut a minute from this.
Okay.
But anyway, he says, when someone's got a knife, you run. When someone's got a gun, you charge them.
Yeah.
And that's because, you know, clearly you can outrun a knife, but you can't outrun a gun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still, for those guys to dive in as they did, I just thought it was monumental. Because who knows what you would do?
Oh, I know.
Who knows?
I mean, but my point, I suppose, is that when, you know, I can't imagine what you would feel like as well on the streets of Paris that very night.
Yeah.
Where people are just walking around the streets, seemingly in charge, like with Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah.
Just shooting people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't...
Jogging down the street.
Yeah,
with
you can't say...
Machine guns.
You know, you can't then take the criminal justice system as we have it, which has pretty much been the same for 100 years, and say these people can operate within that framework. I just don't think you can do it.
Well, I'll tell you what worried me even more than the London Bridge attack, or sort of brought home to me the potential threat, was Did you hear this massive sonic boom the other night?
No, I wasn't here. Well, I was in Sussex. I saw the story, yeah.
So at 4 o'clock...
I saw that O'Sullivan's household was awoken by it.
Was it? Well, yes. My wife was awoken by it and couldn't believe that I'd slept through it.
Right. But anyway, you slept through
it? I did.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And, but they were, of course, two fighter jets sent off to intercept an unresponsive passenger plane. And it occurred to me, you know, that would be the real thing if you were an ISIS mastermind.
Yeah.
Fly a jet right into the middle of London.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I presume those people are plotting like that. I presume we've got people who are stopping them.
You know,
them,
you can't really use the probation system and, you know, a collection of left-wing barristers to control all that. Did you see the guy, the barrister, you know, like, you know, have a great deal of respect for some lawyers, but for an awful lot of them, like your mate Jolyon Moron, who tried to get me to apologise to him the other day, right? He now wants to sue on behalf of the BBC, the Prime Minister, for not, you know, going on Andrew Neil's show. I mean, really, he really needs to get some help. But, you know, I don't, you know, the guy who got this guy off, the guy who launched the appeal successfully for him, was boasting about it on his website.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's a you know, a supporter of international human
rights.
Is that still there? I believe it is.
Bloody hell.
You know, I mean, it's just part of a long-running
screed. Didn't age well, did it?
No, a long-running screed of, you know, things that he has achieved in his time as a barrister, including getting this bloke, Khan, appealed so that he was allowed to be released. Yeah. I mean, really?
Yeah.
You know, this is the problem. And so as long as we've got these kind of champions of human rights defending these guys who want to destroy everything that they stand for, you know, we're fucked, in my view.
Yeah.
Have to do something else.
I appreciate and agree with the sentiment entirely. It's just the answer. I don't see the solution being as clear as you do.
Mm.
And the idea of having a Guantanamo Bay in the Firth of Forth.
I don't mind making it like a holiday camp. It could be like a sort of more Butlins-y than Guantanamo Bay.
With entertainment?
I'm not saying, yeah. I'm not
Red
saying.
Coat.
Yeah, make them watch, you know, semi-naked women or something just to upset them. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, give them, you know, let's make it into a sort of a fun experience for them. Yeah. And maybe they'll realise that actually there's more to life than being a fucking Islamic fundamentalist who wants to meet a load of virgins when in death. You know, why don't you cheer them up and say, why don't you meet some now and see how you like it? And then you might not want to die. You know, I mean, maybe, seriously, I mean, why don't we try and... I mean, the whole, you know, de-radicalisation programme is nonsense. What are you going to do? Show them a book of, you know, Jean-Paul Sartre and say, have a read of this, existential philosophy.
Yeah.
No, you get them laid, maybe. And then maybe that would help. I don't know. Should we stop there?
I can't see the Justice Secretary coming out with this stuff, but anyway, maybe they should.
Maybe they need to sort of take a second look at it.
I think we need to stop before
we do
we
need
go
to stop
far.
Before we go too far. We've already gone too far.
10 minutes ago.
This is the Thought Police. You know, you can't use the I'm disaffected argument. No. That's why I've been knifing people to death. And that's why
massive.
I mug people.
That
and that's why I knock old women over the head and stab them.
This is why you are paid a fortune to do radio. You can take a perfectly reasonable sentence that I've just said and within two breaths turn me into a lunatic.
No, I haven't.
That's not what I was saying. What I was saying was we have your absolutism. In saying, right, throw away the key, the terrorist throw. Where does it stop? You know, where is the evidence that someone's a terrorist? Do you hang around with somebody who's found out to be a terrorist?
I think if you are convicted of a terrorist offence in this country, I think we can have enough faith in the justice system that makes you a terrorist, right? Now, what my argument is that you take them out of the criminal justice system and you put them in their own system, almost like a Guantanamo Bay type
You
scenario.
Now want the Guantanamo
yes.
Bay.
Yes.
Where?
I think,
the Isle of Wight?
Well, you can put it anywhere you like. There's a couple of islands in the Firth of Forth you could use, which have got military prisons in them for the Second
Alcatraz
World War. Why not?
Guantanamo
yeah,
Bay.
Why not? Because what you cannot make an argument that tells me that these people should be re-released back into the community.
percent of that book is absolute bullshit.
I read the book before I saw the film,
book's
actually.
Amazing.
I read the book when I was about 14
it's
years
old.
It's
a great book.
I loved it.
I hate to tell you, 90% of
I never got
bullshit.
Over the things that they shoved up their arse.
Yeah,
I never got over them.
And
I was quite young when
well,
I
the fact
that
I never got over was that when they stuck two of them, they called them charges, didn't they?
That's it,
They stuck two of them up their arses.
Yeah.
Then the one that they stuck up first would always come out second when they took it out. You've broken the law multiple times,
I'm not
but
exactly
you're still
Jack
sitting in
the fucking Ripper. I'm talking about stealing. I'm talking about stealing Mars bars.
I'm glad
and shit.
We've got that established.
You know, I haven't murdered anyone.